Thank you for joining us for our sermon podcast. Emmanuel United Methodist Church is located at 1351 Main Street in Welford, South Carolina. Our mission at Emmanuel states, by God's grace and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we pursue Christ to become and make disciples for the transformation of the world. Our hope is that this message will help you as you grow in God's grace, trust in the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and to pursue Christ with all you have. Now sit back and listen for what the Lord may be saying to you as Pastor Andrew delivers today's message. Thank you.
So today we're continuing our Resurrecting Me sermon series. This whole series has been based off the song from Elevation Worship that the resurrected King is resurrecting me, is continuing to resurrect me. We've looked at the road to Emmaus. We looked at Peter's redemption. Today we're going to look at a scripture that is popularly called, famously called, the Great Commission. So we're going to be in Matthew chapter 28. We're going to start with verse 16, and I'm going to read till the chapter ends. So if you're not looking at the Bible now, you're scared, because you don't know how long that is. But we should be fired up. Are we on the app too? Everything's working great today. Let's stand in honor and reverence of the reading of the gospel if your health allows you. Beginning in verse 16. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." This is the word of God for you, the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Father God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our Lord, our God, our rock, and our Redeemer. Amen. So this passage is often called the Great Commission. It's one of two scriptures that a lot of churches are founded and based upon. The great commandment to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your might, and love your neighbor as yourself. And the Great Commission to go and to make disciples. So if you want the resurrected King to continue resurrecting your faith, you must join the mission. You must join the mission. There's a report that came out from the Barna Group. I think the data was actually received in the end of 2017, but the article was published in January of 2019. It said that 51% of church-going Christians, when asked what the Great Commission was, said they did not know. Another 25% said they had heard of it, but they could not tell you what it was. 76% of the 1,100 people that claimed to be church-going Christians said they either did not know or they could not explain it. Verse 19 gives us what the Great Commission is. It tells us, go therefore. That go therefore is actually probably better translated as you journey. As you go. Not if you go, not when you go, but as you go, as you journey through life, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. So I started thinking this week, and I Googled. You ever just Googled something to see if something pops up? And then you start typing half your sentence and the rest of it shows up and it scares you that other people think about weird things too? Yes, there's five of us. That's what I'm talking about. So I started to Google, why do Christians not take, and it finished, the Great Commission seriously? And I thought, oh. So I found an article and it listed five reasons. It said that we're not familiar with it. that they're too busy with their own agendas. They don't believe it applies to them. They don't believe they can do it. And they believe it's too invasive. So then I started thinking, all right, so if we're going to address those problems, we need to understand the relevance of the Great Commission for us today. So the most important, the most relevant thing that we can take away is that Jesus commanded us to do it. That in and of itself should be enough. But as United Methodists, it's also what we prioritize. The worldwide United Methodist Church says its mission is to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. That we want to make disciples of Jesus and change our world. It's also something that we have claimed in our own mission statement. That we, by God's grace and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we pursue Christ. But that pursuit of Christ is so that we can become and make disciples. So we can change our world. But one of the other reasons I think we need to understand how relevant this is that other people are depending upon it. There are people we all know who are depending upon how serious we take the Great Commission. Now, I know some of you have forgotten, some of you have not, some of you never heard, but I am humbly proud to say that I am a championship caliber golfer. I have the trophy to prove it. I have witnesses that were there. And biblically, you needed two witnesses for something to be true. One, two, championship level golfer. But I was not always that way. I started off just like everybody else, average at best. But then I started saying, all right, if I want to get better at this, I need to practice. And if I'm going to practice, when I started practicing, what I realized is I needed to upgrade some of my equipment. Not too much, but just a little. I just upgraded a little bit of it, okay? Then I decided I need some new equipment. So I even went and bought those little, you ever seen those little spongy, like practice balls? And we hit them in the yard. I even started watching YouTube videos on how to correct a terrible drive. And then next thing you know, I'm doing things that don't make a lick of sense, but it's working. Brandon would say, where'd you learn that, YouTube? It's the truth. Yes, exactly right. I hadn't won one of those big checks yet. It's coming. I started talking to people who had more experience than I did. I even started looking at gadgets that people have made bukus of money off of that probably don't work. But I thought that's the one thing keeping me from being great. Now, as silly as that is, I'll give you another example. Logan just finished his first baseball season. He's better now than he was when he started. But it didn't just happen. It happened because he practiced. Sometimes he didn't even want to practice. But mom and daddy said, we invested this money. You're going to get out there and hit. You're going to get out there and throw. You're going to get out there and catch. You are not going to cry if that ball hits you. He needed some pushing from people who had the wisdom to know what was good for him. He needed the expertise of people far smarter than his dad who were willing to work with him along the way. After Bible studies on Sunday and on weekends and all this other stuff, people who knew about baseball to work with him who could take him further than I could, especially since he won't listen to me. You know how your kids will listen to somebody else say the same thing, but they won't listen to you? So that's where we were. And then he started doing it a little bit more, a little bit more. Then he realized he was now able to do things he used to couldn't do. And he would get more excited about getting better and more excited about getting better. I think those, we would all agree that's pretty common, isn't it? If you want to get better at something, it takes practice. It may take some nudging from other people. It may even take relying on people who have more experience than you do. So y'all know where we're going, don't you? So here, any of you got your red bracelets on today? You don't have to tell on yourself if you don't. But on there it says becoming and making disciples. That's who we want to remind ourselves that we are. So if we're going to make, if that's our goal, is to make disciples, don't you think we need to improve ourselves a little bit too? We need to practice a little bit, don't we? And so I think, how do I practice? How do I become a better disciple? I got good news for you. You can't on your own. That's terrible news, isn't it? But that's why we say that it's about God's grace and it's about the guidance of the Holy Spirit that helps us become. You can't do it on your own. But the beauty of that means that takes all the pressure off. All you have to do is be obedient, like the disciples were in our passage today. Five of the things that we do or that we promote, even in our monthly little sheets that we give out, or what they call the means of grace, what John Wesley called the means of grace, ways that God pours his grace into the sacred moments of our lives. Number one is prayer. If you want to become a better disciple, start with your prayer life. But I don't know how to pray. Do the best you can. There's resources that can help you. There's people sitting not so far from you who are prayer warriors that would love to pray with you or even talk to you about prayer. Sometimes I wonder if God hears mine. And I think it's my own stubbornness, but there's some of you, when you pray, God listens. Grades get changed. Weather forecasts change. I don't know how y'all do it. Some of you can pray, 95% chance of rain, y'all can pray and it won't rain till we're ready to leave. Don't know how you do it, but you do it. The second is searching the scriptures, actually diving in to God's word. If you want to become a better disciple, there's no better place than just to spend 5-10 minutes a day. I don't know what to read. Just open it and just start reading. Use some of the YouVersion Bible plans that we give out. Use anything. Receiving the Lord's Supper is number three, communion. Because Wesley believed it's in the sacraments that we truly encounter a transformative power of God's grace. Number four is fasting, something we kind of focused on during Lent. Fasting kind of forces your body, when it becomes weak, to focus on the strength of God, to focus on listening to the voice of God. And then what he called holy conferencing is number five. And all that is being in communion, in fellowship with each other. Sometimes that looks like Sunday school class. Sometimes that looks like just being together, just having a meal. Not even talking about church, but just being in the fellowship of other believers. And so if we can focus on those five things, I think those problems I listed earlier, those reasons why, they should cease to exist. But I'm convinced that the Great Commission has become less relevant, not because we don't know, or not because of anything in particular, other than we have ceased to grow in our own discipleship. We're comfortable with our faith being stagnant, and we're not growing as disciples, therefore we're not going to make disciples. In an article published by Christian Today, it says this, it says, what follows from ignoring the Great Commission then, compartmentalized Christianity. You got to quit using these big words. In which church simply are named for a once a week service, not something more compelling to reach our community. Faith becomes merely a badge of affiliation, sitting alongside our political party membership and our favorite sports teams. It isn't a radical life of trust that requires daily sacrifice. We might distance faith's relevance to our life choices so that we easily separate God and politics, or our decisions to follow Jesus begins to have minimal bearing on our use of our time, money, and relationships. Discipleship implies teaching, learning, transformation. A shallower Christianity might assume that faith is only concerned with life after death as an insurance policy with very little meaning for life today. So the big question then becomes, how do I get out of this stuck, this place of this rut? You ever felt like you were stuck in a rut and you just couldn't get out? And I'm not the only one that's ever been in a rut, am I? Probably safe to say I'm not the only one standing here today who feels like they're in a rut. And life just going, the train's just going 100 miles an hour past you. And you're taking one step at a time trying to figure out when the world, the rut's going to end. And it just keeps on going. Well, it ends, it quits going. We get out of it when we decide to let the resurrected King resurrect us. And we do that by joining the mission. We do that by becoming a disciple. Well, preacher, how do I make a disciple? I don't know how to do that. If I took this bottle of water, and I'm not because I'm thirsty, and you all had little cups, and I went around and poured a little bit into each person. And let's just pretend it was very hot outside, and somebody had made us work in the yard all day yesterday, and we were tired and sore and thirsty. Would that little bit of water be refreshing? No. For most of us, it would. But eventually, what's going to happen to my water? I'm going to run out. And that's what happens to us in our faith. But if I'll take the time to become a better disciple, it would be like just a never-ending. Jesus said he's living water. Those that drink from him never thirst. So it's like water just keeps pouring in, and I keep having more to pour out to other people. So how do I make a disciple? Well, first you let Christ pour into you, and then you just drip out what he's poured in. Just let it overflow into how you live your life. That's it. Somebody else, you never know who needs it. But you can't pour into somebody something you don't have. In 4 years of ministry, that's the hardest lesson I've had to learn. Is I can't pour into anybody, professionally or personally, something I don't have. And so it's important that I make sure to keep filling up, that you remember to keep filling up. So reasons why we don't take the Great Commission seriously, because we're not familiar with it. You've got no excuse anymore. You're familiar with it. You've heard of it. We're too busy with our own agendas. Anybody ever feel too busy? Maybe God just wants us to slow down so he can pour into us, because our busyness is causing us to miss other people who need him. They don't believe it applies to them. I don't want anybody to admit to that. But I can tell by the look on a couple faces that you believe that. That's your job. You need to take that up with Jesus. Not your pastor. Take that up with Jesus. But Jesus told them all to go and make disciples. You don't believe you can do it. You ever felt unqualified to be a part of God's plan? The scripture ends by saying, and remember, you ever tell your kids something the last thing before they go out the door? Or grandchildren, and remember, be safe, be careful, buckle up, I love you, call me when you get there, those kind of things. Jesus says, and remember, I am with you always. You don't have to do it. He's there with you. You just let the Holy Spirit work through you. And they believe it's too invasive. It is invasive. But if you had an option to be invasive for a couple minutes, or that loved one, that colleague, that neighbor, that coworker, spend their eternity outside of heaven, I think it would be better for us to be invasive for a couple minutes and to love people enough that we don't want them to spend eternity apart from Jesus. So if you're going to experience resurrecting faith, you got to join the mission. You got to continue to become, you got to continue to make. It's the mission that Jesus gave us. It's the mission that the United Methodist Church prioritizes. And it's who we claim to be as a group of people. So we're going to close. We're going to sing a song. I love this song. Freely, freely. Freely you have received, now freely go give. Amen. Amen.
We hope this message encourages you in your walk with Christ. We would love for you to join us for worship at Emmanuel United Methodist Church, where becoming and making disciples is more than just a mission statement. For more information, you can visit us at emmanuelumc.com, or you can find us on Facebook at IUMC Welford. God bless.